Back to our big story this week, gun violence in America and what to do about it. The biggest brands in the firearms business, you may or may not know, booked nearly $250 million in sales in the second quarter of this year.
With the countless bolt actions that have come and gone in America, you'd think it nearly impossible for one to stand out for more than a half century. Until you realize only one can be the most accurate out of the box. Only one has been the leader in innovation since the day it was introduced. The same one America has chosen over all others more than 5 million times. The legendary Model 700 from Remington.
Remington, of course, is a famous firearms brand. So is Bushmaster, DPMS Panther Firearms, Marlin, Parker, Barnes, Bullets, all part of the very successful Freedom Group, a vertically integrated and privately held company that sells weapons in more than 80 countries, including the United States. And while, of course, the majority of Freedom Group products are used by law-abiding Americans across the country and others around the world, some of the company's products were used by James Holmes in Aurora, Colorado, and Adam Lanza in Newtown, Connecticut. For more on the Freedom Group, headquartered, by the way, in Madison, North Carolina, on Remington Drive, we turn to Peter Latman, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Welcome to the program, Peter.
Great to be with you, John.
The quick story this week was that Cerberus, the private equity firm that helped create the Freedom Group, decided to sell its share in the very successful Freedom Group in the wake of the shootings in Connecticut. But this company isn't going anywhere, right?
Oh, no. Freedom Group is not going anywhere. But the move by Cerberus was a very unusual one and something that you rarely see on Wall Street, where responding to some event, you know, outside of, you know, profit and loss and the bottom line, Cerberus, this private equity firm, decides that it's going to put Freedom Group up for sale. So it'll continue to own it, but it's going to hire investment bankers and try and sell it off to somebody.
Well, perhaps Cerberus is trying to get out from under some of the colorful language that you can find on Freedom Group product line websites. Here, for instance, advertising an AK-47 magazine. Are you forced to live with ridiculous state laws restricting magazines? Can't find a rugged and reliable low-capacity AK-47 magazine? The Intrafuse 10-round AK-47 magazine is your answer. Tell us a little bit about what Freedom Group sells and how successful it is.
Yeah, so Freedom Group is a roll-up. It's a classic Wall Street deal where Cerberus, this private equity firm, decided to buy Remington in 2006. And then it saw a very fragmented industry, a whole bunch of gun makers out there that were, in their view, sort of inefficiently managed. And they said, okay, let's buy up all these different small gun makers, roll them up, and we'll give them some big umbrella brand name. And they chose this sort of tantalizing name of the Freedom Group. And that's what they basically are. They're a holding company that owns a host of different gun makers, and they've become the largest player in the nation.
And Natasha Singer, who wrote a profile of Freedom Group for the Times about a year ago, your colleague, said, quote, the most powerful and mysterious force in the American gun industry today. I'm wondering how mysterious, roaming around the website, it really seems like a place where you can go and play army with real deadly weapons. Peter?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, some of this stuff you sort of can't make up. So Cerberus, right, has always been known as sort of one of the more shadowy and mysterious private equity firms. But they came under scrutiny and a big spotlight a few years ago because they bought Chrysler right in the midst of the financial crisis. And then they bought the finance arm of General Motors. And they got all this attention. And they said to their investors, you know what, after buying these two companies, we're not going to do any more controversial deals. We like to stay outside the spotlight. But the guy who owns it, Steve Feinberg, is a ardent hunter, apparently. He's a gun owner himself. He loves owning companies that have the government as a big customer. And he found this deal too, you know, interesting to pass up. And now here he is again, you know, under a bit of controversy.
We should note, though, Peter, that being the financier of a company like this in Second Amendment America, there's nothing whatsoever controversial in the United States today, maybe this week, but not today, about financing weapons producers. We are the largest weapons producer, I believe, in the world. Maybe China or Russia are competing with us.
That's correct. And I think that's why they thought this was such an interesting deal. And the whole idea of rolling up these various gun makers into one parent company has proven to be pretty successful for them. But, you know, their statement on, you know, early Tuesday morning was really a fascinating one, because I think after sitting around a conference room table and deciding, you know, what to do here and how to react to the tragedy, I think they just wanted to step out of the limelight and exit from the debate and not become, you know, part of this story, that they sort of wanted to step away from the controversy. Really an extraordinary move.
Can they really do that? Listen.
You know, one of the first questions we usually get is about the safety selector and the way it presses into your finger when you're in your grip. And so just kind of to clarify, if you look right here at the lower receiver itself, you've got your mag release and your bolt release down here. There's a little spot in between, and that's really where your finger should go. A lot of people, when they put the safety selector on fire and they come up high on it, they say that the safety selector presses into their finger. But if you nestle down in that spot, there's actually no contact. It allows you to go up for the mag release or down for the bolt release.
Now, the hair on the back of my neck is standing up. That is a how-to video from the Bushmaster Incorporated YouTube site. It was uploaded in 2010. It's been kicking around for a while, but it basically tells you how to load a high-capacity magazine and then release it from a Bushmaster M4 carbine replica rifle, semi-automatic, which was exactly what Adam Lanza used in Newtown, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. So, right, they're not going to be able to step away from this anytime soon, but I think what they decided to do is, look, this could be a PR stunt, right? Because they're going to have a tough time selling this company. There's no guarantee that there's a ready buyer out there. I spoke to a couple of bankers yesterday, and they say there's some foreign companies that are big gun makers, and potentially they might not have sort of the same political problems in buying up Freedom Group, a Brazilian company, a German company. So who knows who's going to buy it? But for now, Feinberg and Cerberus are stuck with this thing, and yeah, they're going to have to answer to what clearly is, you know, a controversy over the gun laws in this country. And if the gun laws become more strict, obviously it could hurt their bottom line.
Wouldn't that be an amazing legacy of this Newtown tragedy? That China or Brazil or Germany owns the Freedom Group weapons manufacturer in the United States. Peter Latman, thanks so much.
Thank you, John.
Peter Latman, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. We always want to hear from you, your thoughts on how guns are bought and sold in this country, or anything else you hear on the program.
This is Marinette calling from Miami. One of the things about gun control that I think that we need to work on is selling guns and ammo online. The Colorado shooter bought 6,000 rounds of ammo online, and that should just not be that easy.
Thank you, Marina. Here's Jeremy. I am a gun owner, hunter, and avid recreational shooter. My concern is that we will not have a debate based on rational arguments, but rather the fear and scare tactics so common from both sides. While events like the tragedy in Newtown push issues onto the front pages and fronts of people's minds, it can be difficult to have a positive outcome when emotions are running high. Hopefully, a comprehensive solution to reducing violence will be found, and Washington will avoid slapping a Band-Aid on this issue that deserves serious attention. Here's another listener's question.
This is Marco from Northwest Oklahoma City, and I think we're missing one of the main points. And the question is, why is America so violent among all of the other developed nations? Why do we have such violence?
Your questions, your conversation, be a part of it. You can reach us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Tomorrow on the program, the commander of NATO forces in Afghanistan, Anders Fogh Rasmussen, will join us. I'm John Huckenberry. This is The Takeaway.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.